The theme of this song is the fellowship, or what I get out of this is the fellowship of the Spirit, the man that arranged these songs or put these together was the man who put together the Martyr's Mirror. And as he was compiling this record book, this history book of the martyrs throughout the world, throughout history, I believe that he had a fellowship and a kinship of spirit with these people. And I believe that because I can attest to the same kinship and spirit that as I read these books of the martyrs and read the Bible, there is a bearing witness of my spirit with their spirit. There's something real between us. Even though there's several hundred years between us, in times maybe thousands of years, there is a fellowship that we have, or a kinship of the Spirit. And that's a little what I want to talk about this morning. But we want to begin first in Matthew chapter 6 to lay a little bit of groundwork before we come to that. Or Matthew chapter 7, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. What I want to do today is dispel a deception. We sang that song to get us a little bit of an understanding of what it really means that our spirit bears witness with Christ's spirit. But I want to read and warn us this morning about the deception that is being passed, that many people will only find out that they're deceived on that great day. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 and verse 22 and verse 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are verses that are very familiar to us here. They are probably very unfamiliar, or most people have heard of them, but very few people take the time to contemplate them. Jesus warned us about deception. I want to, we've asked it before on the street, and I asked it again the other evening in California when I was preaching. Do you know what the paradox of deception is? The paradox of deception. The paradox of deception is People don't know they're deceived. They're deceived and they do not know it. That's a great danger. It's one thing to be deceived or to choose something and choose to close our eyes to light. And another thing to be deceived and not know it. Now I want to look at this statement here of the Lord. Verse 22, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and have we not, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Many in that day will say, Lord, Lord. And they will find that they have been deceived. What a dreadful thing to stand before the Lord. If we would recount a little bit of the Bible, Jesus said that the rich man that died, clothed in fine linen and purple, he lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments. He hadn't come to this day yet. The Bible says that when people die, or when people die, they go to a place called Sheol, or a place of the grave. And past that grave is a place where it's translated into hell, or Abraham's bosom. And there's a lake of fire there, according to Jesus. There's people on one side and there's people on the other side. There's people in Abraham's bosom who are comforted, and there are people that are in torment on the other side. But that's not the judgment day. The Bible says on the judgment day that hell will give up the dead that is in her. And we'll all come and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. This place that people go to when they die is the place, a waiting place. And I want you to realize just for a minute that when people die, there's people there tonight, today, that are there, and they don't realize why they're there. Deception is so great that there's people, I believe, that are being tormented right now, and they don't understand why. Because when they get to that day, the judgment day, according to this verse, they'll say, Lord, Lord, what happened? I've been in the wrong place. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. They'll say, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Can you imagine the depths of deception? To wake up in a place after death, in a of torment, and then get out of it, stand before the Lord, and even then say, Lord, what happened? Lord, Lord, what happened? Didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? Didn't we do miracles? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do many wonderful works? And he'll say, Depart from me, I never knew you. Look at the depths of the deception. They still believed that somehow they were right with God, even in the place of torment after death. They thought somebody made a mistake. Well, somebody did make a mistake. Somebody is making mistakes. And that's people who are allowing themselves to be deceived because they love not the truth. Verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Our hope and our trust is that we walk this narrow, straight path that leads to life. That we do the will of the Father, that we follow our Lord and our Savior, and please Him. There's many today that are trusting in some Bible verses, that are trusting that they're saved because, well, they've said a prayer. They've called on the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In other words, if we'll just say a prayer and say, "Jesus, will you save me?" they'll be saved. There's people trusting in that very thing because they have asked Jesus to save them. They've called upon the name of the Lord. They've said, "Lord, Lord, save us." But yet Jesus in His own words said, "Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord. And He will say, depart from me, I never knew you." Deception. When Jesus says, "It's not he that heareth these sayings of mine, but he that doeth them." Who has ears to hear and eyes to see, putting into practice the Lord's will into their lives and obeying? In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, this is what I wanted to bring us to. Says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." What does that mean? If we were to ask several people this morning, they would give you the answer that, "Well, I just know that I've asked Jesus into my heart and I've never felt the same since. I know that I have confessed my sins and I just am assured that I am saved. That I am on my way to heaven. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed until I felt that I'm saved." And people are saying that is the Spirit bearing witness with their spirit. They're saying that because they feel saved, because they feel safe, because they feel secure, that is the Holy Spirit just telling them that they're all right. I don't know how many people I've watched throughout my life stand up and say in testimony services, that I remember a day back in such and such a time that I prayed at an old-fashioned altar, and I knelt there and I prayed until I felt that I was saved. And they said that happened 30 years ago, and now I know that I am saved, and I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And yet, when we compare their lives to the Word of God, there's nothing there other than an experience that they've had. And there is hardly anything that you can do to show them that Jesus took lordship seriously. We've met people on the street that are walking and living just like the devil himself and say, I don't have to worry about your warnings because I'm going to heaven. Save your warnings. I'm on my way to heaven. Because they have a spirit of some kind just telling them that they're okay. And they're trusting that the Spirit of God, the purpose of the Spirit of God is to make them feel secure in this world. In John, the Bible talks about the Comforter, and we've talked about this. The word Comforter is one that encourages on, one that challenges. In the old world, in the 1600s, about the painting of the king with the sword in the soldier's back, and it says this king was comforting his soldier. Usually when we think of comforting, as we think of nice and comfortable, or a comforter that goes on a bed and makes us feel all nice and cozy and sleepy, wants us to go to sleep. Well, that's not the comforter that God has sent in the form of the Holy Spirit. The comforter is one that prods us on, that puts a sharp point in our back to keep us walking forward. The comforter is one who, through trials, like in this song, is challenging us to go forward, to move on. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's such a blessing to be able to open the Bible and see that our spirit is bearing witness with the Spirit of God, that our spirit is bearing witness with the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. It's not about a feeling of security, a false feeling of security. Our comfort doesn't come because we feel secure. Our comfort comes because our spirit is bearing witness with the Word of God. Our spirit is bearing witness with those who have gone on before. Not that we can claim them as our ancestors. Not that we can know history right and left. It's that when we read about these people, we hear about what they're going through. We know what they're going through because our spirit is bearing witness with their spirit. Talking with a man from Honduras that has been with us in spirit for the last 6 years. Just every time that we talk, he's right there with us, seeing these things and understanding these things, has come under a great deal of pressure lately. And he's yielded to that pressure. Just to give up. Just give up. Just a little. spent 2 hours talking with him on the phone yesterday. Our spirits don't bear witness anymore together. Something's happened. Something went wrong. Now, instead of saying, yes, I see that. I understand it. It's completely different. We talk, and though we're still saying many of the same things, there's no fellowship there. We're not walking in the same spirit anymore. And I challenged him. His family, you can trace it right back to the martyr's mare, or back in through history. And I challenged him to pick up a book, Fire in the Zurich Hills. And it tells through Anabaptist history of a little group that was meeting together. And there was a few people that got excited about the Word of God and began to put it into practice and saw very quickly that if they believed what the Bible was teaching and they followed it, that would bring them in conflict with the authorities. That would bring them in conflict with the established church. But they started out strong. And they just stood their ground for a while. And they were going to follow the Word of God. And they were going to follow the Bible. But then the authorities came and arrested several of them. And they put them in prison. And they let them stay there for 30 or 60 days. Then they brought them out. And they said, wouldn't it be nice for you to go home and be with your family? Wouldn't it be nice just to go home and be with your family? Here, you're eating bread and water. It's cold. Your wife's probably cooking something. And your children are just, they might not even be much, because here you are, your family's suffering, they're missing you, they're doing without. All you have to do is just sign this paper and say, we'll quit meeting together. I won't meet with this group anymore. And then they signed it. Wasn't much. And the group they're with is very happy because now they've come back to the fold. But as I read that, I'm excited because they're standing. And then when they sign it, my heart sinks. They gave up. And I asked that man to read this book, and I said, see who your spirit bears witness with now. See who your spirit bears witness with now. Which side is it on? One of the young men in California. He's a school teacher there. Held in high esteem among the church. So high that they would entrust their precious children to his teachings. He began seeing things that are wrong. And so he went to the preachers above him, the ministry, told them how he was feeling. He lost his job being a teacher. They came back a few days later, and he was rejoicing because now he felt like he was clear and he could follow the Lord and have fellowship with Him honestly and have a clear conscience to walk with Jesus. And the preacher said, "You're beside yourself. You're mentally unstable. You need to be on medication." Just a few weeks before, he was troubled because he didn't have a clear conscience, but he was entrusted with the children. And now he's got a clear conscience and is happy and rejoicing. And he's troubled and needs to be on medication. In Mark chapter 3:20. "And the multitude cometh together, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it," this is speaking about Jesus, "they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." Paul, whenever he was testifying before the king, told the king the things of the word of God. And the king said, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning hath made thee mad." What kind of reaction do you think the brother in California has when he reads these verses like this after being told what he was told? There's a kinship with Jesus. There's a spirit bearing witness with Jesus. There's a spirit bearing witness with Paul. Paul said, "I'm considered the offscouring of the world, a reproach among men." And when people say things like that about us or make up things about us because we're trying to follow the Lord Jesus, there's a kinship and a fellowship. There's a bearing witness of our spirit with His spirit. Because that's what they did to Jesus whenever He was here. A few years ago, whenever I was excommunicated from a church, one of the brethren came over. I don't know whether it was that evening or the next evening. Secretly. And he sat down in the living room. And I had was living in a little cabin at that time out on one of the ranches, out on one of the farms. And it had kind of a low roof. Anyway, the night that I was excommunicated, I was walking home, or I came home, I got home, and I walked into the house. I was alone. walked into a dark house all by myself, just had been excommunicated, misunderstood for wanting to be out and preaching the gospel. And I walked into my house, and a verse came to my mind. It's in Matthew. It's also one. The one in Luke is the one that came to my mind. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And in Luke chapter 6, it says a little the same thing, but it talks about whenever they separate you from their company for righteousness' sake. It says, rejoice and leap for joy. And I told this man that had come to visit me that evening about being excommunicated and coming home to this dark house. And just as I walked in the door, this verse came to my mind. Rejoice and be exceeding glad and leap for joy. Do you know what his response was? He looked up at the ceiling. I'm a tall man. And he looked up at the ceiling to see if there's a dent in the metal roof where I leapt for joy. Because he knew how I would respond. There was a kinship with the Word of God. I knew exactly what it meant to be separated. And the Comforter came and said, rejoice and leap for joy. It wasn't a special feeling that, oh, I'm saved and no one's going to take this from me. No. Bearing witness of His Spirit with my spirit is because we were going through the same thing. And the comfort that we receive is not just a feeling of safety and peace in this wicked world, but the comfort we receive is the kinship that Jesus has gone through the same thing. And we're going through it with Him. That the Spirit of God has been rejected by men, and we're going through it with Him. His Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Because there's a real kinship there, one with another. And we can read these books and this song that we sing. Oh, I often did wish then to be a partaker with them. Said, the scaffold and stake saying to them, fight valiantly, sisters and brethren, the crown awaits you. And died thus with them. So great my love bound up with them. Another way, another place. My soul went with them to prison and then to the tribunal I stayed them. There's a fellowship there. Be strong. Fight valiantly. I don't know how many times I've read through the Old Testament and you read in the Kings and in Chronicles and it talks about the kings and there's a man that stands up and starts standing for the Lord. And it tells of all the mighty things He does. And then it gets partway through and it says, but his heart was not perfect before the Lord. And then it tells of how he fell or how his sin. And oh, it's such a blessing to see. There's one going to stand. And then you get to the end of his life or in the middle of it. And he falls. There's a spirit bearing witness with someone wanting to stand for the Lord. Being faithful. And our spirit is disappointed when he fails. That's what it means. Our spirit bearing witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. Reading in the Word of God. And our spirit is in alignment. And where it isn't, we fix it. And when we read the Word of God and we come to a place that, wait a minute, that's not how I'm acting. That's not what I'm doing. We fix it. Instead of compromising and saying, oh well, I'm saved. I'll be all right. That's the best way I know to wake up on the judgment day. Maybe even being in hell and then stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, Lord, what happened? And he said, don't you remember? You took a wrong path. Instead of following the Spirit that was trying to guide you into all truth, you took the spirit of just being comforted in your own deception. And so I gave you over to be deceived because you didn't love the truth. You'd rather believe a lie. You'd rather believe a lie that I'm okay. I'm saved. I've been baptized. I was a faithful member of the church. Instead of, Lord, I've been at one with you. And I've followed you, and I've obeyed you, and I've took up my cross. And I've trusted you, and I've walked with you. And I know what it is to have fellowship and kinship because our spirits are born together. Born witness together. They say that 1 John, the book of 1 John, is the assurance chapter. I don't even know how, and they're right, but I don't know how someone could read that and get the assurance, the false assurance that they get out of it. Look at how many times it says, and hereby do we know. And hereby we do know. Just for example, verse 4 it says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses is not just saying something with your mouth. Confessing is being aligned with, being at one with, being aligned with. Whenever I make a confession, that means I'm uniting myself to your way of thinking. I was wrong. I confess that I was wrong, and now I'm uniting myself with you. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Try the spirits, it says. Go back to chapter 1. We'll just go through a few of these verses. Verse 6, chapter 1, says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What is it? It's fellowship. We're of the same Spirit. Our spirits are bearing witness one with another that we are the sons of God, and we have our fellowship, and our unity comes from that. Chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. The kinship, the fellowship. Chapter 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 16. Verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this is the purpose of the Son of God, was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Chapter 3, verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Verse 24, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Verse 2, hereby we know the Spirit of God. We read that one already. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. There's a kinship. When we're speaking the words of God and people don't understand it, they can't get it, because they're of the world. And hereby we know the Spirit of truth. Verse 13 says, hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given of us His Spirit. And again, it is not the spirit of comfort. It is not the spirit of all is well, go to sleep, you'll be okay. It is a kinship of the Spirit of Christ. And you can just go on and on, all through the book, all through the Bible. And it's all related. Because it's of the same spirit. And that's how we know. There's an assurance that we're walking with God because we're trotting the same path. We're following our Savior. And we're following in the path of those that have gone before. And our spirits bear witness one with another. There's a kinship there. Though separated by time, our kinship is in eternity. Our kinship is in the God of heaven that created all things. And our spirits are bearing witness with His Spirit that we are the sons of God. And it's a blessing when we walk in that fellowship and that light and that understanding. Lord, add His blessings to His words. Father, we come before You this morning and we just want to thank You again for Your goodness. Thank You for the kinship, Father, men of like precious faith. Lord, help us, Father, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, Father. Lord, that our hearts would be knit together, Father, in love. And Lord, that our fellowship is in heavenly places, Father. So many assurances and promises, Father, that we have, Lord. Not of an earthly comfort, Father, but a kinship with our Creator. And what He's gone through, being rejected in this world, Father. But being accepted in heavenly places by the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us be faithful to You. Lord, as we strive to walk with You, Lord, be faithful until You return for us. Or we go to meet You, Lord. We thank You again in Jesus' name. Amen.